on this episode of The Breakaway, presented by Los Rios Community College District. Head coach of your Sacramento Republic, Mark Briggs, a quick 15-minute interview with him ahead of the big playoff match tomorrow. If you haven't grabbed your tickets, make sure you do so. SacramentoRepublicFC.com/playoffs. A lot of good stuff from Briggs coming up on today's episode. Soccer fan, student, and graduate. The Los Rios Colleges want you to be all three. American River College, Consumers River College, Folsom Lake College, and Sacramento City College are now enrolling for the fall 2022 semester. With flexible class schedules, free tuition for most students, and support services, you can graduate and get a career in no time. Los Rios Colleges understands you may have a job and family obligations that can make attending a college challenging. That's why they offer flexible scheduling options to meet your needs, including full-term and short-term classes, evening and weekend options, and classes that are fully and partially online. To learn more, visit losrios.edu/apply. Grow your business with Citizens Business Bank. Since 1974, Citizens Business Bank has created banking relationships by focusing on their customers and helping them achieve more for their businesses, their employees, and the communities they serve. Choose a team that can help you achieve your goals by visiting cbbank.com to learn more. Citizens Biz Bank, member FDIC. Visit our friends at VJB Cellars in the heart of the Sonoma Valley and feel as though you've stepped into an Italian piazza. Taste award-winning Italian varietals, enjoy authentic wood-fired pizzas, and finish your visit with a scoop of gelato. A perfect way to spend your day. And only a quick 90-minute drive from Sacramento to a slice of Italy in the Sonoma wine country. Visit VJBCellars.com or give us a call to plan your visit today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the podcast, head coach of your Sacramento Republic, Mark Briggs, ahead of a big week, a big match coming up Saturday, playoffs. It's been a while since we've been in the single elimination mindset, but we're back. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's always always good to come and talk to you.
My first question is unorthodox, per usual. How is Matt LaGrassa doing after banging his nose on the grass on that goal celebration?
Yeah, we actually did an analysis of the game on Monday when we reported back, and we included the LaGrassa celebration in the analysis, the face plant.
Yeah.
But now he's doing all right. There's no concussions. There's no bloody noses. It was just a good goal.
Of anybody on the team that would happen to, it had to be him, right?
That fits
his personality perfectly.
It really does. It really does. No, I was over the moon to see, obviously, Matt score at the goal that he did. Great goal. Goal of the week. But then the celebration was even better.
Yeah.
More so for the banter between the group in the locker room. So it was a good thing.
Well, a bit of a message for that you guys sent this weekend against San Diego. Come out, score 3 goals in 16 minutes against San Diego, one of the top two teams in the West. Obviously a very impressive performance. And you could even, if you go back and look at the Pittsburgh game, like you guys pretty much dominated that game, didn't get the result you guys wanted. But really the last two matches, it feels like you guys have kind of regrouped, found a little bit of motivation, and now going into single elimination. How have you felt the group has changed and transitioned back into this single elimination mindset?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we always knew as a staff that we were going to hit a lull after the Open Cup final. We played a couple of days later against Loudoun and played extremely well, scored 4 goals, and then the following week, Orange County, same again. But it's, you hit those lulls 2 or 3 weeks down the line, down the road, and I just felt that the guys hit a mental lull, a physical lull. You could feel it on the training ground, you could feel it before games, and we've just had to change certain things. Change how we've been running training sessions, change how we've been analysing the opponent, analysing our own video, and try and refresh things and re-energise the guys. And I think that over the last 3 weeks, the week leading up to the Pittsburgh game, the week leading up to the San Diego game, you started to see the group come back, the group find their energy and find their mental toughness, their mental focus has started to come back. And I think you've saw that over the last 2 weeks, which has been obviously good with the performance against Pittsburgh. Not the result we wanted, but I was happy with the performance. And then you saw that build into what happened on Saturday against San Diego. And now everyone's obviously in a positive frame of mind and everyone's feeling good, re-energized, refocused, ready for hopefully a long playoff run.
I want to talk about a few different players here. And the first one I want to start with is Duke Lacroix, who is kind of shifted into that left center back role. Early on when he first got there, you could see a little bit of discomfort, but it really seems like he's kind of found his groove on in that position. What do you think he brings to that spot that maybe you weren't expecting, or, you know, he has the ability to go forward? He is got great pace, which for a center back, you don't always see that.
Right.
But what does he bring to that position, or how has he grown into that position?
Yeah, I know Duke played for Charlotte a few years back as the left-sided center back of a three. So we knew that he had the capabilities to play in that position. But like any player, it's about confidence. It's about feeling good about yourself, feeling good about the group, having confidence in your own ability and the role that you play for the team. And I think Duke has really grew into that role and grew in confidence. And you're starting to see, one, the player we all know Duke Lacroix is, but two, the leadership that he's bringing in that role and the confidence he's bringing in that role. He's on the front foot. He is aggressive when we don't have the ball. And then when we have the ball, he can beat people on the dribble.
Yeah.
He can play a pass. I think Duke's been phenomenal since he's really locked down that starting position and come back into the team.
Well, you mentioned him being on the front foot. I feel like that's something you sometimes see from a center back, from a guy who does have great speed. Say you're against a press and he can dribble, beat a guy one-on-one, and then all of a sudden things open up. I imagine
right.
that really can help as
it's
well,
really
too.
Helpful. It's really helpful. And because defenders have a tendency, they're defenders, right? They want to defend what's behind them. They want to defend the box. They want to defend the goal. So when you're asking a defender to be on the front foot and engage and press in certain moments, it's foreign to them. So you have to keep nagging away at them, keep driving the message home. But Duke, because Duke has an attacking mindset, Duke's automatically on the front foot and wants to do that, which has been a huge help with everybody else on the field, you know, being aggressive, being on that front foot.
I want to ask about Kekko too, because I was looking at stats and I was surprised to see shots on goal. He's actually tied for first with Roro. Continues to be a guy who gets in dangerous positions, and you know, we've seen him throughout the season really grow as a player. What have you liked that you've seen from him in the last couple of weeks and throughout the season?
Kekko, you know, he's come from obviously playing in Spain, playing at some of the biggest clubs in Europe, and so we always knew it was going to be a settling in period for him. New country, new culture, new house, getting his kids settled, getting his wife settled. Takes time. It's not just going to happen overnight. But Kekko this year has been a breath of fresh air. If you take away his football, forget the football element, what he brings to the group, what he brings to the culture we have in the locker room is phenomenal. He's second to none. I know you spoke the other day when you interviewed with Kevin and you spoke about Kekko spraying Kevin in the eye with a champagne. That's Kekko all over. You know, but that's important in a group. That's what you need in
yeah.
a group, you know. And hopefully there's more moments that he can spray Kevin with champagne again. But
he
no,
did say he'd welcome it.
But no, what he brings is he brings a personality and an energy and a professionalism that rubs off on our younger guys. The way he looks after himself and how he looks after his body and what he does to his body on a daily basis to ensure he's in peak condition to play in a game is good for players to see, because they're not exposed to that level of professionalism. And so it's been really good for your Tiagos, your Rafas, your Marios, even like your Zicos, like players who have been around, to see how athletes at the highest level carry themselves and look after themselves. And then you look at his performances, and I think his performances have been to a really high degree throughout the whole year. Yes, there's certain things that we could ask of him more, but I'm really happy with what Kekko's brought and what he's going to bring, because he's only going to get better. This is his first year in America. This is his first year getting used to the style in America, getting used to me, getting used to the players around him. And I think he's only going to grow and he's only going to improve. And hopefully we have him, you know, for a long time.
there's so many guys on this team that have been playing really well. You know, Roro, obviously, Luis Felipe. I made the case that, you know, if he was on any other team, he might be the best player of the, for the year. But him and Roro have been so good. Lacrosse has been playing really well. Connor right. Donovan, Dan Casey, Vidiel. Jack, I mean, there's over and over again. But the one guy that I feel like has, we've seen him kind of rise and get more minutes and been a impact off the bench is Zico Lewis. What have you seen from him that has kind of brought a different dimension off the bench for you guys and it could be really important in a deep playoff run?
For sure, for sure. Zico is a top-class player, especially at this level. He's got an ability to do special things. He can beat you on the dribble. He can whip a pinpoint crossing. He can score goals. He can retain possession. And I think you saw on Saturday, he has a burst of speed over 10 yards. The one where he puts Lufa in and the keeper makes a save. But his burst of speed and his ability to turn at really high, high level. And Zico's, you know, he's come from the Eastern Conference, he's come from Charleston. There was a little settling in period. His visa was late coming, so he missed pre-season. So it's been an up and down year for Zico, and he's been trying to capture the form that he knows and we all know that he can. But I feel over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, you've started to see glimpses of the magic that he brings and of the ability he has. And if we can get that to come out in this playoff run, we have a player that can change games and win games for us.
Lastly, Malik Foster, the striker spot, you've kind of tweaked with some of that. You know, you brought Luther off the bench, who got a nice goal, which was good to see. But what going into playoff games, right, what is your mindset? I obviously don't want you to give anything away, but what is your mindset with that position? Is it something where we could see Malik, Dougie, and Luther, just depending on who they play? Obviously, Malik's pace is such a big factor. We see him stretch center backs. But what can we expect to see out of maybe that role and how you plan to try and game plan game to game?
Yeah, no, the objective is to win, you know. And with the number nine position, we've had to manage Malik over the past few weeks. I know some fans at the game, I can't remember what game it was, were calling for Malik to come off the bench. But Malik's been carrying a knock, and we've got to manage Malik to make sure that he's in the best possible position to help us when we need to him to help. Douglas has got bags of ability. Douglas hasn't hit the form that we would have liked, but Douglas still brings a lot to this group and a lot to this to the team, and Douglas will step up in a moment when he's needed to step up. And I think you spoke about Lufa as well. Lufa's brings an energy, whether he's starting, whether he's coming off the bench, the defenders don't like, because he's big, he's physical, he's strong, and
he'll
he can score goals
too, yeah.
He presses. If you're a defender and he's coming off the bench for the last 20 minutes, he's the last person you want to see,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because he's going to knock you about, he's going to run, he's going to score goals, he's a threat. So no, I think it's just about us managing those three guys and making sure that we have them all in peak condition, ready to really contribute to a long playoff run that we want to achieve.
It does seem like Dougie too is, when you've put him out on that kind of wing type spot, it does seem like we've seen him thrive. Is that something you might experiment with him coming up in these next few games? Obviously it's winner take all on these next few, but is that something maybe you guys might look at going into game planning?
Yeah, I think you have to look at what the opponent's strengths and weaknesses are, what areas of the field the opponent try to build in, for example. Do their fullbacks get high? Do their fullbacks stay deep to build? What areas of the field, with the way they build, what areas of the field do they leave themselves exposed? And is Dougie, is Malik, is Lufa, are they the best component to expose that weakness? And we have to look at that based on each individual team, based on form, based on fitness, based on are they feeling confident, are they feeling good? There's a number of elements that you have to look at, but I feel all of those guys can bring something different and can all be game changers and match winners for us.
New Mexico United this weekend is, you know, obviously such an important match, you know, in the single elimination style. Is it something where you guys are going to go in here into Saturday, and if you win, keep moving on to, hey, we're going to play our game plan, we're not going to change who we are? Or is it maybe something that New Mexico does, and I obviously don't want you to give that away, but is it something that we might change our game plan a little bit, or we might tweak it a lot to try and, you know, threaten?
Yeah, no, I think ultimately you've got to win. So we've got to go for it. We've got to play with an intensity and play without fear and have courage to do the things that we know we're good at and do the things that make us a good team. I think first and foremost, those are the things that you have to do. My message to the guys this week has been, no matter what the game gives you, you can handle it. No matter what it throws at you, whether it be going down, whether it be going up, whether it be cards, whatever it may be, we've been in this position, we've had certain things thrown at us, and we've overcome whatever's been thrown our way. So be focused, be ready, and understand that whatever comes at us in that 90 minutes or 120 minutes on Saturday night, we can handle it. And if we have that mindset and that mentality, and we stick together and we follow the game plan, I have every confidence that we'll be preparing for another playoff game the following week.
What is your message to fans heading into Saturday? Obviously, sellout crowd. This last Saturday, you guys showed out with a 4-0 victory, but what's your message to fans ahead of Saturday?
Bring energy. Bring energy. When our stadium's rocking, when our stadium's loud, when the fans get behind our team, you see a different team, you see a different player, and we really need those fans this weekend. We're up against a very talented New Mexico team. We've talented players, and we need to be at our very best. And to be at our very best, we need our 12th man. And the 12th man is our supporters, our fans, being loud, getting behind our group, and showing the energy that they've shown throughout our Open Cup run.
I can't wait. Should we do a quick Wolves update? How are you feeling?
Not very good. Not very good.
No?
We can't get anyone to take the job at the moment as the coach, so not very good with the Wolves at the moment. We're struggling. Although we got a win on Saturday against Nottingham Forest, but then lost to Crystal Palace. So not very good with my Wolves at the moment.
Well, thanks for taking the time out of this busy week. I know heading into playoffs preparation, I'm sure, is heavy. So thanks for taking time to talk to us.
This
was fun.
Anytime. Thank you, Connor.
Our thanks to Coach Mark Briggs for jumping on the podcast. Obviously, big one tomorrow. We hope to see you out at Heart Health Park at 7 p.m. Get there early. Gates open at 5:30 for 90 before 90, where you get half off beer, wine, and cocktails at the match. So get there early. Let's get this place rocking on a Saturday night. Let's get and make New Mexico a little intimidated when they walk in the park on Saturday. We'll see you out there at the park, 7 p.m. If you haven't grabbed your tickets, sacramentofc.com/playoffs. We thank you for your support of this podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe, or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, go Republic!